We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the station Wichita turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. KNSS, Wichita's number one news, talk, and weather station. Depend on it.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. A house fire and an apartment fire in South Wichita overnight. We've got the story.
Police investigating Wichita's latest homicide. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Wichita approves late-night parties downtown during the NCAA tournament. I'm Dan O'Neill.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday. We've only had about 0.2 inches of precipitation since the beginning of the year, and it doesn't look like we'll see anything throughout the rest of this week. Our forecast for today is coming up.
A house fire this morning in South Wichita. Around 2 a.m., firefighters were called to the 2100 block of South Water, where they found smoke and flames coming from the structure. No one was home. Here's Battalion Chief Sid Newby.
Had a challenging fire here because we had two ceilings in this house. So when we tried to vent it to get the hot air and gases out, it wouldn't vent properly because of the two ceilings. It took a lot of additional work.
A two-alarm fire in South Wichita Tuesday evening at the South Lake Village Apartments, 3100 block of South Seneca. Firefighters found smoke and flames coming from a second-floor balcony. The fire made its way to the upper level of Building 3. A second alarm was then sounded soon after the first responders arrived. A total of 6 apartments sustained damage from the fire and smoke. Residents in those apartments were moved into other apartments on the premises by apartment officials. A damage estimate and cause of the blaze were not immediately available.
More information on Wichita's latest homicide. An 18-year-old woman was shot and killed in southeast Wichita early yesterday. Police officer Charlie Davidson says when police arrived in the 1600 block of South Estelle, they found a car which had been hit by bullets. The driver of the car was a 40-year-old woman. The woman's daughter and the daughter's 18-year-old boyfriend were the passengers in the car. One of the bullets had hit the woman's daughter, killing her.
The three individuals had just arrived home and parked the car in the street. When an unknown suspect or suspects drove by in an unknown vehicle and shot multiple times at the victims, which struck the 18-year-old female. The other two occupants of the vehicle were not injured.
This is Wichita's fourth homicide case of the year.
Wichita officials have approved a city ordinance that will allow entertainment and drinking establishments to remain open after midnight to accommodate fans of the upcoming NCAA basketball tournament.
The city council on Tuesday approved the amended hours. Currently, outdoor events must close by midnight on Friday and Saturday and 11 Sunday through Thursday. The Wichita Eagle reports promoters wanted to hold special late-night events to entertain the thousands of people expected to visit Wichita March 15th through 18th. NCAA tournament games will be scheduled late into the night due to West Coast games. Officials say the ordinance would allow the council to waive the usual limits on late-night events for any events in the future. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
The Wichita City Council has unanimously approved a firefighter's contract.
The city's negotiating team and the International Association of Firefighters Local 135 reached an agreement through 2019. The union membership approved the contract back in early January. Mayor Jeff Longwell said this contract was a long time coming, but is happy with the deal.
I think at the end of the day, it's a good contract for both. And I think that firefighters are very deserving.
The 3-year term will be retroactively in effect from December 16th, 2016, through December 13th, 2019. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
The House has passed another short-term spending bill that will fund the government for another 6 weeks. However, Fox's Chad Pegram explains they are not out of the woods yet.
The reason they keep passing these interim spending bills is they simply cannot get an agreement on something that can get through both the House and the Senate. You have a divided House Republican conference. A group of people who want, a lot of spending reductions. They don't want an agreement on DACA. You have other defense hawks who want to get more military funding. And then you have the Democrats who say, all right, we agree that there should be more military funding, but you have to also increase non-defense spending. And keep in mind, they're doing this while they have to raise the debt ceiling here in just a couple of weeks. We're thinking early March, so that's not far away.
This will be the fifth interim spending bill for this fiscal year.
The House Intelligence Committee voting this week to release the Democrat FISA memo. The president has this week, all week, to decide whether to release it to the public. White House Chief of Staff John Kelly says they're still looking at the memo and no decision has been made.
Well, it's different, and so not leaning towards it. It will be done in a responsible way. Again, this is where the first one was very clean relative to sources and methods. My initial cut is this one is a lot less clean.
Last week, the Republican version of the memo was made public even after the Department of Justice and the FBI voiced concern that the memo was inaccurate.
KNSS News Time now, 7:05, 5 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Basketball action last night. Wichita State was on the road at Memphis. KU at home against TCU. Close games both in the second half. How'd they turn out? Well, we'll fill you in and have highlights and hear from coaches and players coming up in sports.
Lawmakers hope to put an age limit on candidates. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted.
Success.
The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted now, 7:08, 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. Candidates would be required to be at least 18 years old to run for statewide offices in Kansas under legislation drafted in response to six teenagers entering the race for governor. We get more from Kansas Information Network's Britt Swigert.
The Kansas House Elections Committee is considering whether to set an age requirement for running for governor, Secretary of State, Attorney General, State Treasurer, and State Commissioner of Insurance. The Topeka Capital Journal reports that the committee could vote on the plan Monday. Candidates for governor and lieutenant governor would also have to live in Kansas for 4 years before seeking office. If approved, the changes wouldn't take effect until after this fall's election. Six teenagers are seeking the state's top office, while another is running for Secretary of State. Proponents of the bill say most states require candidates to be older.
Collecting fingerprints in the war against terrorism pays off for the FBI and lands one immigrant in hot water.
He came to the United States on a non-immigrant visa in 2011 due to his wife's status as a foreign student. Now a Saudi native has been arrested in Oklahoma for lying to the FBI and visa fraud. His fingerprints were found on an application for an Al-Qaeda camp where some of the September 11th hijackers trained. Those fingerprints matched one submitted by Nayef Al-Falaj in order to take private flying lessons in the United States in October 2016. And prosecutors say he falsely answered questions about supporting terrorists or whether he had contacts with anyone from a terrorist group. They say he should have never been allowed in the country. Kevin Battle, Fox News.
A new stamp will commemorate a man millions of Americans grew up with.
The U.S. Postal Service will honor a famous neighbor with the release of a stamp next month.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood. A beautiful
the stamp
day.
Featuring children's television host Mr. Rogers is set to be unveiled on March 23rd at the Pittsburgh TV station where Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was produced. The stamp will depict Fred Rogers and King Friday the 13th, his longtime puppet pal on the show he produced for more than three decades.
Please won't you be my neighbor.
Rogers died in 2003 at the age of 74 after battling cancer. Rich Dennison, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:11, 11 minutes past 7 o'clock for Steve and Ted.
And this morning, well, it's very, very cold out there. Oh, that's a traffic condition you will have to deal with. Starting to see some heavier traffic out there. Looking at some heavy traffic eastbound on Kellogg right around Dugan Road, Ridge Road area. Traffic update from KNSS Radio. I'm Jad Chambers.
And now the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Laura Bannon. Good morning, Laura.
Hey, good morning there. Hope you guys are having a good morning so far. I know I am, despite the cold. It is pretty. I know I just been in the car this morning for a couple extra minutes just waiting for it to warm up. And I was like, why didn't I spend the extra $100 on the heated steering wheel?
Good idea.
Yeah, seriously. All right, so here in Wichita, it is currently 14 degrees. You got a light wind out of the north at 9 miles per hour. It feels like it's only 2 degrees. So we're hovering right around that 0 degree mark, and we're going to keep that going through the morning hours. But the good news is that we actually warm up nicely today. We'll continue with the sunny skies, just a few passing clouds from time to time. We'll see a high of 39 degrees. chilly sunshine on top of that. That's all right with me, especially when you factor in we've got light winds. That won't topple us on over. Warming back up through the end of the week. We're back into the 50s tomorrow and all the way through Friday. And then our next cold front drops on through. We're looking for Arctic air to pour back in through Saturday and Sunday. Small potential for a little bit of snow on top of that. But, hey, that's the weekend. Days away. Let's focus on the warm weather we've got right now. Totally well, okay with me.
How was the snowfall? Snowfall stayed north of here quite a ways.
From yesterday's?
Yeah.
Yeah, most of that was for farther to the north and west. Some highest totals that I've seen so far, 7 inches all the way to St. Francis, and that's way up in the corner. Goodland's coming in about 5 inches or so, and then scattered about anywhere from 2 to 3 inches across northern Kansas. Some folks, they had that big band of snow that was just kind of hanging out overhead, and nothing was actually making it down to the ground. So that dry air just kind of ate it all away. Wasn't as generous as we originally anticipated, but some folks across western Kansas haven't seen snow or any type of moisture in several weeks, so this was a nice welcome sign. Right.
So sunny today, and what was the high again?
39.
39. All right, thank you. The KSM Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Laura Bannon. 7:13, Steve and Ted, and immigration and DACA still being debated in Congress as they're looking at a possible shutdown again this week. Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland with us this morning. Good morning, Rachel.
Hey, good morning. Well, it's looking less likely, actually, that there will be a shutdown. They're working on a deal. The House passed a short-term deal last night. It goes to the Senate. It will probably go through. If not, I mean, they're also looking at a long-term spending plan that would lift caps for both military and non-military spending for 2 years. I mean, what will we do without a talk of a government shutdown once a month? I mean, we'll be having to talk about something else. So to get that done, that would fund the government essentially for 2 years. This, as a president, was calling for a shutdown over immigration, but it really looks like in this case, Democrats don't have the appetite to do that right now.
If we're looking at possibly not having a shutdown again, how will we function without that threat hanging over our heads?
Well, it'll be as the memo turns, I'm sure. We'll have lots of to discuss about memos and all kinds of stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's looking likely. But this takes the pressure off as far as getting a deal for DACA, except that the March 5th deadline still looms. That's when the program that would protect Dreamers from deportation expires. So they have that on the table. And Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says that he will start open debate on immigration as soon as they pass the spending bill.
So if this has passed the House, it goes next to the Senate, right?
That's correct. They're expected to take it up today, and the deadline is Friday. So I'd imagine they would be hustling to get this done. No one wants to wear a government shutdown. They don't want to do it again. They don't want to do it over immigration. But the question is, they don't seem to really have a clear path forward on coming to an agreement on immigration in time for the March 5th.
All right. Well, listen, thank you. Appreciate your time and your reporting this morning. Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland talking about the immigration, the DACA debate, and the shutdown that may or may not come. Looks like it might not at this point. Well, we had a cloudy, cool day across Kansas Tuesday. Wichita's high temperature yesterday was 31 degrees. Normal high is 46. I got out for a run yesterday, bundled up, and, hey, it wasn't too bad. Just cloudy. Don't you get a little tired of the clouds? Oh, every day the cloud cover. Today we're going to apparently have some sunshine to look at, Ted. That'll brighten our spirits. Today is Wednesday, February 7th. 2018, and on this date in 1964, thousands of screaming fans greeted the Beatles as they arrived at New York's John F. Kennedy International Airport for their first American tour. A lot of excitement there. And on that
excitement,
tour,
a lot of folks had never seen them perform before.
I believe on that tour, they stopped in Kansas City at the old Municipal Stadium there. I believe it was that tour. Maybe it was the next one. I don't know. But anyway, the Beatles came to the U.S. for the very first time. Quick note that, what was my quick note? Anyway, we muddle forward. 7:16 with Steve and Ted, and police are investigating a burglary at Rob Gronkowski's home, the Gronk, which took place while the New England Patriots tight end was in Minneapolis for Super Bowl 52.
Yeah.
How about that?
100 million people knew that he wasn't at home on Sunday.
Authorities confirmed the break into reporters Tuesday morning. Officers called to the property shortly after the pass returned to Foxborough, Massachusetts, Monday. According to ESPN.com, state and local police were at Gronk's home throughout Monday night, just a few miles away from Gillette Stadium. Apparently, they almost cleaned the place out.
Oh, that's too bad.
You would think, what kind of community he lives in. But you would think that there would be some neighbors or somebody that might notice something like that and maybe call the authorities. Or that he would have some expensive sort of security.
He probably lives in the type of neighborhood you can't even see your neighbor's house.
Oh.
Probably got a lot of land,
yeah,
a lot of property.
Maybe so. Anyway, so that obviously somebody knew he was out of town, knew where he lived.
Hmm.
Wow. That's nasty.
Yeah, come on now.
7:18 now, Steve and Ted. And it is sports time with Ted Woodward. We've got, we got Shocker basketball, and we also got Jayhawk basketball to talk about.
Big night for hoops last night.
Yeah.
K-State plays tonight. Shockers ranked number 21 in the nation, coming off back-to-back road losses, trying to get that mojo back on the road. Could they get it last night in Memphis? The answer is yes. Shockers trying to get their first win in Memphis in more than 40 years. Got a little tight in the second half, but the Shocks dominated down the stretch. Mike Kennedy and Bob Hull had the call of the game on KEYN.
Left side of the floor, comes off the screen by Nurture. Drives it right over on the wing. Reeves for three. Got it. And Austin Reeves, now with 22, becomes the first Shocker player since Ron Baker early in his senior year to have three 20-point games in a row.
Wow. Well,
that certainly helps.
That helps a lot.
Austin Reeves playing not too far from where he grew up in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
22 points, 6 rebounds, his third straight 20-point game. Shocks beat Memphis 85-65 was the final score, really dominating there in the last 9 minutes. As the Shocks improved to 18-5, here's Wichita State head coach Greg Marshall.
Landry Shamet, though, he got in some foul trouble. He goes 5 assists, no turnovers, and he was being dogged the whole game. I mean, they were really physical with him and banging in the, just, you know, it's big boy basketball. You got to be able to play through that stuff, and he looked really good doing that.
Yeah, sophomore guard Landry Shamet breaking out of his slump with 20 points, 5 assists, and a double-double for Wichita State's Darrell Willis, 13 points, 12 rebounds. After the game, Landry Shamet, glad to get that road win.
You know, trying to do other things to help us win. I wasn't playing my best basketball, you know, and I know that, and I took ownership for it, and you know, I'm everybody that knows me knows I'm my hardest critic, and so, you know, I haven't been taking this lightly at all. I've been working hard, and a few of them went in tonight, so you know, it paid off.
Shocks get the win, now 18-5 overall, still holding on to second place in the American Conference standings. Men's basketball last night in Lawrence, 10th-ranked Kansas hosting TCU. Another close game between these two, tight in the second half. The Jayhawks, once again, able to do some good things and pull away against the Horned Frogs, who have never won a game in Lawrence, and that still holds up after last night as well. You heard the game on KFH.
Devontae taking his time, patiently waiting. He gets a screen from Azubuki. Shoots this one from way, way downtown, and somehow it goes home. Out, then back in, and the KU lead is doubled.
Well, Bane got a bounce about 3 minutes ago. That time, Devontae got him back. The Jayhawks up by 6.
Devontae Graham with 24 points as KU beats TCU 71-64. It wasn't a perfect game for the Jayhawks, but it was a win, says head coach Bill Sell.
If you said before the game that they were going to make 10 threes, we're going to shoot 33% from three, and 69 from the line, and 46 or 44, whatever, from overall, you know, and Sfi make score 1 point and Malik make one basket, I'd say, how are we going to win this game? But they grinded.
Well, Jayhawks did, and it was guys like a Marcus Garrett coming off the bench and shooting 4 for 4 from the field that certainly helped the cause.
We felt like we didn't go out there and give our all in the game on Saturday. So we just knew we had to come out this game, just compete, have fight, and hopefully we came out with a win.
Jayhawks 19-5 now. They're all alone atop the Big 12 standings. Kansas State men's basketball on the road tonight at Texas. Fifth place is on the line in the Big 12. Both teams are 5-5 in the conference. K-State has lost back-to-back games, trying to get back in the win column. 7 o'clock tonight, K-State at Texas. Wildcats are a 5-point underdog on the road. Women's basketball tonight at Coke Arena. The Shocker ladies are hosting Cincinnati. That game will tip off at 7 o'clock tonight. JUCO men's basketball in El Dorado tonight. Butler Community College hosting Dodge City. Butler's coming off back-to-back victories. Dennis Higgins will have live coverage of the Grizzlies at 7:15 tonight. And that is right here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. And former Wichita State point guard Fred VanVleet coming through again for the Toronto Raptors in the NBA last night. Top two teams in the Eastern Conference squaring off in Toronto. And the Raptors beat the Celtics 111-91. Fred VanVleet coming off the Toronto bench with 10 points and 8 assists to lead the Raptors. Mm. That's 3 wins in a row for the Raptors, and they certainly send a message by whipping Boston by 20 in Toronto last night. Fred VanVleet having a fantastic season for the Raptors. That's Sports with Steve and Ted, KNSS.
Journey and Def Leppard are coming to Wichita's Interest Bank Arena Monday, July 16th, and we have tickets. Have a pair of tickets right now. If you'll call us at 869-1330, you could win 869-1330 for your chance to win tickets, a pair of tickets to Journey and Def Leppard. 722, Steve and Ted. Keep it here for Rush Limbaugh's morning update. The problems in the FBI. Steve and Ted in the morning on KNSN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.